come quickly. Go right ahead. All right. All right. Well, I'm looking for the Lord. Anybody here looking for the Lord? Do you really want Him to come? Do you really want Him to come? I want Him to come. I want others to be ready to go, but I would like to see Him come today. And we've been waiting so long. I pray, Lord, come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. I asked Cheryl to sing that special this morning. Don't have nothing to do with the message, but I just wanted to hear it this morning. Sometimes I need a song. Huh? Y'all need a song. Sometimes I need one. And come, Jesus, come. Been waiting a long time. I've been in this thing a long time, and I've been looking forward to Him coming. And I'm not going to be bashful about it. I want to be delivered from this mess we're living in. I want to be delivered from the suffering and the shame and the disgrace. And I'm longing for a day that I don't sin no more. I'm longing for a day that I don't break His heart anymore, that I don't disappoint Him anymore. I'm longing for a day that I don't come up short, because I'm finding that I come up short just every little bit, not every day or so, just every little bit during the day. Now, I don't know about y'all. Y'all might be living a lot closer than that, but I'm just having problems still. And I just want you to know it, all right? Well, today we're gonna continue, and I'm sorry I wasn't here last Sunday. Could not be here due to some health issues, but I'm continuing today on the series on reality. And the reality basically is this truth now. It's what the truth is now, right now, reality. And it's time that we wake up, as I said a while ago. Now, we're going to say some things today and in the next weeks, probably next couple weeks, that there may be many don't like. I don't know how you are. I don't know. I know there'll be some that probably will not care for it. And we're not trying to make nobody mad. We're not trying to do that. But we're going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be accountable for telling the truth, all right? And I'm not going to be accountable to you. I'm going to be accountable to someone else. He's a lot higher than what we are. Now, there's going to be some things that we believe, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you that there's a lot of people that are just wrong. And so we're going to look at some things today, and I'll go ahead and say this, what's on my mind. We're told in the pulpit not to preach about politics, you know, and so I want you to listen to how foolish that is. You'll come to me and want me to counsel you to get married, and then you get married. You'll come to me when you have marital problems and want me to tell you how to keep your marriage. You'll have a heathen kid, and you'll come to me and want me to tell you how to fix your heathen kid. You got lost people, and you want me to go spend my time and my hours to get your people to go to heaven. But when it comes to voting, you want me to keep my mouth shut. You want me to have part of your life in every area but how you vote. Well, if it comes up, it's just going to come up. I'm not a political man. Okay? Everybody understand that? So I'm going to tell you some things in the weeks to come. All right? And, yeah, like Larry Mullen says, just hold on tight. Now, we're not trying to make nobody mad. Now, listen, I come to preach right and wrong. Heaven and hell. Christ is the way. Everybody okay with that? Now, this morning, this is a heavy message, and I want you to listen carefully this morning. All right? Father, I come. Lord, I'm wicked. I know that. I'm a wretch. I know that. Lord, I'm glad that you have saved me, and I am counting on your righteousness and trusting your righteousness because I don't have any. And Lord, I know that you're sufficient. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I don't want to preach with an attitude or sarcasm or hatefulness. Oh, God, I ask that you would break my heart even more this morning. For the needs of our people is great. Lord, I read in your word, and your prophets wept because they could see the future. And Lord, though I'm not a prophet, Lord, I can see the path that so many's on. And oh God, I've watched it in the past. And Lord, I've learned from experience. And help me to warn this morning. Help me to give the way. Help me to show the way this morning. I pray not because of me, but because you and you're worthy. Oh God, I pray that we might listen this morning. That we might come to you. God, speak to our heart that we would repent and be the people that you want us to be today. Oh God, I pray that you would draw us to a place today that we might be submissive to your will. Not man's will, but your will. God, help us to resist the enemy this morning. Help us to draw nigh to you and resist the devil that he may flee from us. And we're going to praise you for all that you do. Cleanse me, oh God. Give me power. Lord, I have to have your touch this morning. Preach me as you want me to preach. In Jesus' name, I ask and amen. Turn to John, if you would. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And then we'll be looking at John, chapter 10. And then we'll look over in Proverbs, chapter 24. And we'll preach just a little bit. I want you to listen carefully to what the Word of God says here. Listen carefully to what the Word of God says. I want you to understand today that Satan is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you. Satan does not like you. He don't like you, your family. He don't like your house, your car, your job. He hates you. He despises you. He wants to destroy you. Understand that. And whether you're saved or lost, he's still after you to try to shame you, to hurt you, to try to do anything to cause you pain. He cannot take your soul. He don't take the souls of lost people. Hear me. Satan is damned and doomed and going to hell himself. He's not a ruler of hell. He'll be an inmate himself for eternity. And he's not taking nobody with him. Do you understand that? That's nowhere in the Bible that he takes anybody with. He's gone himself, but he wants you to reject Christ. And he wants you to reject God's way and the Word of God. He wants you, after you're saved, to rebel against the Word of God, to go your own way, to do whatever he can to hurt you in the time that he has left. That's what the devil is doing. The devil is not in hell on a throne and people going there shoveling coal, keeping the fire going. That's not true. Satan is not in hell yet. He's walking upon this earth, going to and fro. He accuses the brethren. He torments us, but his days are numbered. Revelation 20:10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and false prophet are to be tormented day and night forever and ever. That day's coming. And Christ does not throw you in hell by rejecting you, but you go to hell because you reject Christ. Understand that. He's done everything necessary for you to spend eternity with him. If you don't, it's because that's what you choose. That's just that simple. Now, when I read here in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus is speaking here. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Do you know people don't believe that very verse? Do you know that? But it's true. It's true. Turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. We just go ahead and read verse 9 and 10. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10 then speaks of Satan. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But the thief cometh, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's a murderer from the beginning. There is no truth in him. He don't abide in truth. He don't know truth. He won't speak the truth. And he comes to destroy. Think about it. To steal and to kill and to destroy. He don't throw parties in hell. All right? He's not going to gloat when you go there with him. He's not going to gloat in hell and say, looky how I've done. No, he's going to suffer and be tormented in hell himself. Right? And that's where the world's headed today. The world's headed there. But I'm afraid we just don't see it. We don't see what he's doing to us. And we're going to start this morning with letting you understand that we don't see what he's doing to our children. We say we see it, but we don't see it. I'm afraid that we in the church, now, I know the world don't see it, but I don't know that all the church sees it. We don't see what's going on with the children. We don't understand what's happening to the children. So this morning, in our series on reality, it's our children. The reality is our children are in danger. Our children are in danger this morning. Now listen to me. Our children are in danger now, right now. And it's our duty to help them. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And let's look at verse 10. Proverbs chapter 24, and we'll start at verse 10. Read 10, 11, and 12. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, does not he know it? Shall not he render to every man according to his works? Listen, it's time that we do what we can to save those who's fixing to be slain, to do everything in our power to help deliver those that's in danger this morning, and our children is what's in danger. And that's just the way it is. Can you give me the first picture, Brother Jeremy? Give me the first picture. Can you see that? That is a picture of Moloch, the god that you read about in the Bible. That is a picture of Moloch, and if you'll notice that the people are worshiping him, and you see the man there on the altar, he's handing over a baby to the hands of the god, Moloch. Now, that ain't the neighbor. That's the daddy. That's not the school system. That's the daddy. Sacrificing their own children because they think that's going to appease the wrath of God, of their God. And they give their children. The world has given their children to the very hands of the devil to sacrifice for the pleasure of the parent or for the right of the parent or for the good of the parent. And we're sacrificing our children on the altar. Think about that. That's what happens today. That's what's going on today. But I find that it's not a new thing. It's a common thing where Satan is after the children. You think about it. The god of Moloch, he was the god of sacrifice and fire. So they would they would try to appease the God by offering their children for sacrifice. What kind of person would throw their child in the fire? What kind of kid would do that? Or what kind of parent would do that to their kid? But yeah, we see it every day. You throw your kid to the world. Push your kid to the world. You're putting them in the hands of the enemy. So let's look. Let's look in Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. See if we can find a pattern, maybe, of the devil's work. Exodus chapter 1, verse 16 says, and this is Pharaoh's speaking, and he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. There, Pharaoh wanted the midwives to when they went to deliver, they didn't go to the hospital labor room. Now they do. I think Caleb's wife, Jessie, I think she's a midwife now. And when you're sitting there on the stool and getting ready to help deliver the baby, that if it's a boy, you kill it when it's delivered. If it's a girl, let it live. But take the manhood away. Take the manhood away because men are apt to rebel. We okay? How about Matthew chapter 2? Matthew chapter 2. This has always been Satan's way. He'd done it all through the Old Testament and having the gods of Baal. We call it Baal or Baal, B-A-L-L. We call them how they sacrificed their children, sacrificed their farms, sacrificed everything they had just to better themselves or to help themselves. No thought of the kids. No thought of the kids. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. There we got a king that says, kill all the kids. Don't just kill the boy, just kill all of them. For 2 years and under, kill them all. Kill them all. That's what the devil's always been after the children. Always been after the children. Always been trying to destroy. Why? Because that of the adversity he'll have if the children live. Do you understand? In 1973, the well-famed Roe vs. Wade come in, and the woman from Texas, wanted to abort her baby. Did you know? Most people don't know this. Did you know that she already had two children? How many knew that? How many knew that the woman had started with the battle with Roe vs. Wade? That wasn't her first kid. She had two and decided she didn't want the third one. Let me kill my third one. How come you didn't know that? Surely they tell you that on the news. Why don't you know that? Everybody should have known that. It wasn't that she was raped. It wasn't that her daddy got her pregnant, her uncle. She had two kids and didn't want the third one because she wanted it to die. But we don't know that because it might affect our pocketbook in some way or our tradition some way. Huh? We need to wake up. Need to wake up. We're still okay. Look at Psalms 139. Psalms 139. This is a heavy message this morning. I am not mad. Okay, if anybody thinks I'm mad, I'm not mad. My heart is broken. I've been reading and studying and listening. I've been trying to win your people. But I can't catch them home long enough. Psalms 139, Verse 13, it says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." Can I tell you that them little babies are fearfully and wonderfully made, and these children are precious, and I'm looking at children, and the children downstairs, every one of them precious. I watched them jump off the bus this morning, and they was high-fiving Zach and some of them out there at the door, and some of them was laughing, and they was tripping, and some of them hadn't had a bath, and their hair stuck up everywhere, and some of them was just excited to get downstairs. They was happy. I see y'all coming in. I watch y'all pass the babies around. Is there anything better than babies, Max? I just wonder. Is there anything better than babies? You're handing them back and forth. Huh? Are they not precious? I see McKinley. McKinley is so nervous. He's fixing to be a daddy. He's gonna hold something that fragile in his hands, and it ain't a basketball, and he ain't gonna know what to do with it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're so precious, and they're so great and wonderful. And grandchildren are better than children. And great-grandchildren, I can't wait to get great-grandchildren. They'll be even probably better than grandchildren. But I want you to know that they're so precious, and you used to be precious. There was a time you was. I remember Trista when she started walking at 6 months old. I remember running up the hallway there at the house at 6 months old. I said, she'd been messing and stuff ever since then. Precious. They was used to be precious. Some of them used to be. Huh? But I'm telling you, children are precious, are they not? They're wonderful. And Satan's after them to destroy them. Look at what's going on in your life. Look at the path that you're on. And look what's after you this morning. And look at the adversity, the trouble, and the trial that's coming. Hey, God ain't the one trying to persecute you. There's an enemy after you. And God's standing by you that your faith may grow. And that you defeat the devil, as the Word of God says. Hear me this morning. Satan is after you to destroy you and your children. That's what he's after. That's what he's after. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, if I can find it here, it's in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Life don't start till they start first grade. No, life starts at conception. And the Lord knows it before it happens. Huh? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before he was formed in the belly, God knew Jeremiah. I'm just telling you, these babies are precious. How about Proverbs chapter 6? Proverbs chapter 6. Let's see what we find there. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's look at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Them go together. Hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises a wicked imagination. Feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Huh? How about Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1. We're talking about life. We're talking about kids. Everybody understand? We're talking about babies. Huh? Talking about being wonderful and fearfully made and marvelous made and new in the womb. How about Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1, how about verse 41? And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. That's John the Baptist. He was glorifying the Lord in the womb. Huh? And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Huh? That babe, Elizabeth come unto Mary. Mary's pregnant with Jesus. Elizabeth's got John the Baptist in her womb, 6 months old. He's tearing up Jack in there because he met Jesus. Huh? What do you think of that? Huh? Life. Precious. 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 They're precious this morning. The baby's better. That's why our hearts break when our children, if we lose a child. Huh? That's why we say it's not normal for a parent to bury the children. The children ought to bury the parent because they're so precious. They are precious. Now, most babies are ugly. We know that. They come. They're all bent out of shape. And they come and they look like they've been through war. I mean, that's the truth. Huh? And we love them on them and we kiss on them. And they're the prettiest thing we ever saw. But you know, they look pretty rough. You know that. Don't they? They look pretty. We try to make, look how pretty their hair is. They had two. And, you know, I mean, but they're precious, right? They're precious. We wouldn't think of hurting one of them. Oh, we wouldn't think, when one cries, the whole family. Huh? Is that not true? Huh? It's the second one you don't care about. The first one is the one that you love. The second one, you don't go, they'll be fine. They've cried 2 or 3 days. They'll be all right. Huh? Tell me I'm wrong. Huh? That's y'all first ones, y'all doing all this modern medicine. You know, you can't do this. You can't do that. Where do you have your second one? You let the dog raise it. Huh? They're still precious, though. They're precious. They're precious. They're beautiful. They're all the... To look at them, their first smile. Huh? Now you can catch it on your phone. Used to be you just had to tell it. Huh? Are you listening to me? They're precious. But the devil's after them. The devil's after them so much that there've been over 60 million killed in the womb or right after. That's in our beloved United States since 1973. Over 60 million sucked out. Huh? But they're precious. They're precious. They're precious. Are you listening to me? Huh? Won't you listen carefully? Listen carefully. I got a few notes here. I want you to hear me real quick. That a baby's heartbeat. You know, what does everybody say? If you're going to define life, heartbeat and brainwaves. Is that not true? I mean, if somebody's heart beating, well, they're alive, right? If they got brainwaves. Now, I know that's medically speaking. Some people ain't got brainwaves and they're walking. But I understand that. But a brainwave picked up by a doctor, they consider that life. Is that not right? Well, did you know, in all your infinite wisdom, did you know that within 18 days that the baby's heart starts beating in 18 days after conception? Did you know that? 18 days the baby's heart is beating. After conception, 18 days. Well, the world says that's life. Did you know this? Let me see if I got it here. I think I got it here somewhere. Within three weeks to four weeks, that after the cerebral vortex is developed, that brain waves has already started. And they ain't but just a little over a month old. And their hearts are beating. Their hearts are beating. And their brains are working. Did you know that at 6 weeks old, they can start feeling pain? Did
Did you know that the infant about 18 weeks old or somewhere through they cry in the womb? Did you know that? Did you know that when they hook that clamp up to them and jerk them out that they cry? Did you know that? Did you know that they suffer? Huh? When you get the clip ready, you just tell me and I'll stop. Then play it. I want you to listen. It's going to take about 4 minutes. I want you to listen and don't hang your head. You watch and you listen. Turn it on the screen, Kim. I don't want nobody to miss it. You listen. We'll wait all day if we have to.
Planned Parenthood is based on false premises, one after another. Time to stop wasting time, get on with meaningful work, and stop picking on women and trying to take their choice away. I yield back the balance of my time.
The time of the gentleman has expired.
He wants to kill you,
we
baby.
Welcome our distinguished witnesses today. Do you and each of
Planned
you
Parenthood
swear
Democrat.
The testimony that you are about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And I'll now begin by introducing today's witnesses. The first witness is Dr. Anthony Levitino. Dr. Levitino is a board-certified obstetrician gynecologist. Over the course of his career, Dr. Levitino has practiced obstetrics and gynecology in both private and university settings, including as an associate professor of OBGYN at the Albany Medical College. And Dr. Levitino, we'll begin with you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chairman, and members of the committee.
I
only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to get right to it. Second trimester D&E abortions performed between roughly 14 and 24 weeks of gestation. Your patient today is 17 years old. She's 22 weeks pregnant. Her baby is the length of your hand plus a couple of inches. And she's been feeling her baby kick for the last several weeks. But she's asleep on an operating room table. You walk into that operating room scrubbed and gowned, and after removing laminaria, you introduce a suction catheter into the uterus. This is a 14 French suction catheter. If she were 12 weeks pregnant or less, basically the width of your hand or smaller, you could basically do the entire procedure with this. But babies this big don't fit through catheters this size. After suctioning the amniotic fluid out from around the baby, you introduce an instrument called the Sofer clamp. It's about 13 inches long. It's made of stainless steel. The business end of this clamp is about 2.5 inches long and a half inch wide. There are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. A D&E procedure is a blind abortion, so picture yourself introducing this and grabbing anything you can blindly and pull, and I do mean hard, and out pops the leg about that big, which you put down on the table next to you. Reach in again, pull out an arm about the same length, which you put down on the table next to you, and use this instrument again and again to tear out the spine, the intestines, the heart and lungs. Head in the baby that size is about the size of a large plum. Can't see it, but you've pretty good idea you've got it if you've got your instrument around something and your fingers are spread about as far as they go. You know you did it right if you crush down on the instrument and white material runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you could pull out skull pieces. When you have a day like I have a lot of times, sometimes a little face comes back and stares back at you. Congratulations. You just successfully performed a second trimester D&E abortion. You just affirmed her right to choose.
One more question, Dr. Levitino. Why did you end your practice of doing abortions?
I did over 1,200 abortions over a four-year period in private practice, not counting the ones that I did during my training. I met my wife during my first year of training at Albany Medical Center. We got married about a year later and found that we had an infertility problem. After years of failed infertility treatment and several years trying to adopt a child, we were blessed with adopting a little girl that we named Heather in August of 1978. As sometimes happens in those situations, my wife got pregnant the very next month, and we had two children 10 months apart. 2 months short of my daughter Heather's sixth birthday, she was killed in an auto accident and literally died in her arms in the back of an ambulance. Anyone who has children might think they have some idea of what that feels like, but unless you've been through it yourself, you have no idea whatsoever. I know people find it hard to believe, but what do you do after disaster? You bury your child, and then you go back to your life. And I don't remember exactly how long it was after my daughter died that I showed up at Albany Medical Center OR number 9 to perform my first second trimester D&E abortion. I wasn't thinking of it as anything special. This was routine to me. But I reached in, literally pulled out an arm or leg, and got sick. You know, earlier on I described stacking up body parts on the side of the table. It's not to, you know, gross people out, to use a simple term. When you do an abortion, you need to keep inventory. You have to make sure you get two arms and two legs and all the pieces. If you don't, your patient's going to come back infected, bleeding, or dead. So I soldiered on and finished that abortion. And I know it sounds, as I said, hard for people to believe, but I'm telling you straight up my experience. You know, after over 1,200 abortions, first and second trimester, up to 24 weeks, and all the rest of it, and being very dedicated to it, for the first time in my life, I really looked at that pile of body parts on the side of the table. And I didn't see her wonderful right to choose, and I didn't see all the money I just made. All I could see was somebody's son or daughter. And I stopped doing late-term abortions after that, and several months later stopped doing all abortions. Thank you.
There's reality. There's the reality. Now vote for your Democratic platform. Now vote your Democratic platform and fund the murder of babies. Pull them out with a pair of vice grips and crushing them. You go ahead and you face God in the future. You go ahead. Well, that's reality. Get mad at me if you want. But that's your Democratic platform. They stood and bragged on it at the Democratic convention this year of how many they're going to kill and how many they're going to let die. God has already shown us judgment. Get mad if you want, but you'll face God. You'll face God this morning. For Satan is the one that's founded and using the Democratic platform. I didn't say all people are bad. I'm saying platform. Hear me? And he's using that to destroy our children, like it or not. There's 400,000 kids in foster care today. There's 108,000 awaiting adoption. There's 90,000 abortions every month in the United States. 5 children die each day from abuse or neglect. 61% are under 3 years old. 44% are under 1 year old. 81% of the death of children involved at least one parent. Leading cause is head trauma or baby shaking syndrome. That's your reality today. That's your reality today. That Satan is after your children. Oh, the reality that God has mercy even on us. Even doing that and funding that today. That's the truth of the matter today. We don't like it, but that's the truth. Abortion and adoption and abuse. 6, listen to me. The House and Ways Committee in our Congress, this is their report. That because of abortions, that $6.9 trillion is costed the economy. $6.9 trillion. Think about that. Are you still listening to me, or you done shut me off? Huh? Listen to me. Do you know that there's in 2023 that there was 1,056 unwanted pregnancies. I forget how long a time there in 2023. And they was from 25 to 29 years old, and 41% were college kids. Now, why is that? Why is that? Because Planned Parenthood is teaching our children in grade school about birth control and sex and going to heaven and being lascivious and having sex before they're married, and when they're kids, that when they get up and get pregnant and get caught, they just run and have an abortion so they can still have their fun. And then because people look down upon the abortions and pregnancies, we've promoted the queer crowd, the homosexual lesbian crowd, that they can have sex without the fear of getting pregnant and still have the same fun. Hear me today. That's your reality. And Satan is after our children to destroy our children. That's the truth of the matter today. And we turn our heads and we bow up in the back and say we don't. Well, I don't like that. Well, it's still reality. And it's where God's people need to get on our face and pray, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I repent for what we've let go on, that we've not helped our children. Huh? And it's not just in the womb, but they're letting them be born and laying them out on a table and leaving them lay there to see if they'll live or die after they're born. So I don't believe that. Well, then Google it. You can listen to some of the people that survived it and told it. I'm telling you a lie, I'm telling you reality. Huh? You ain't going to hear that on ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CBS. You ain't going to hear that nowhere. That's just the way it is. Just the way it is. Huh? Our children are in danger because of the culture that's being created. The culture that's being created by the devil. He uses people. He uses good people to do stupid things. Now, can I ask you, how many here's ever done a stupid thing? Hold your hand up if you ever done something really stupid. Hold your hand up and hold up a minute. Have you ever done something stupid? If you're a pretty good person. I trust all of you. Right? But we've all done stupid stuff. Can I tell you today that God uses people and they do stupid stuff? It don't necessarily make that person bad. They just do stupid stuff. But he knows what it's going to cause. Huh? Now, I know this may not be popular. And I know it ain't going to be popular on Facebook. But that's okay. Creating a culture where people don't want kids. With the adoption, I thank God for people who adopt. I thank God for them. I thank God for foster parents. Thank God for them. Huh? There's enough parents out there that can't have kids that would take all these aborted babies. Huh? Oh, I'd love to have a big farm. At a great big table, I'd take all these kids at youth camp and all these kids downstairs, and I'd cook and feed them, and I'd put them all down there and let them come and take care of all. I would love to have them all. I'd take every kid around. Huh? But don't throw them away. Don't put them in the trash heap. Huh? Can I tell you that them body parts he talked about, and I know there might be some that don't believe it, but can I tell you, I got the paperwork right here. I got the paperwork here of where they take them baby parts and sell the aborted baby parts. I got it right here. You can have it and read it if you want to. Huh? Just Google it. That's what I did. We know it's true. I got it on Google. I mean, we don't have to read the Bible that it says that we ain't supposed to shed innocent blood. We don't have to read the Bible where it talks about harm and punishment. We don't have to. Just read Google, okay? But see, we won't even read that. Because of the solicitation of media that uses deception. Huh? People say, well, I have a right to kill my baby. You're an idiot. I'm trying not to be sarcastic. I'm trying not to be. I'm sorry. I just want you to know you're not going to hurt my kids. And you're not going to hurt my grandkids. And if I'm around, ain't nobody going to hurt your kids. I was going to tell you that. Kennedy, I didn't want to upset you this morning. But I couldn't help but think of you. That you're getting ready to deliver in October. And it's nothing for somebody to take the baby. It's nothing for a mother to give her baby up, and you're getting ready to deliver in October. And they sell the parts. And go ahead and fund Planned Parenthood. Go ahead and fund it. Go ahead. That's where we're at today. That's where we're at today. We're creating a culture that where people don't want kids. We're creating a culture to turn kids away from even themselves, to where they don't want themselves. They use drugs. They use alcohol. Huh? Are you hearing me? They're trying their best to remove even father and mother from a child, calling their parents father and mother even in school. Well, say, well, don't happen where I'm at. Well, we're still in West Virginia. I mean, in Clay County, they ain't got this week's sunshine yet. Okay? We understand there's differences. But can I tell you, your little school ain't the only place. We still okay? We've got the platform, the Democratic platform of abortion. We've got the Democratic platform that pushed gay pride, drag queens, homosexuality, lesbianism, and the Democratic platform pushes it, and it's not of God. That's just the way it is. Cultural breakdown, to create a culture of breakdown in the home, of same-sex marriage, transgender lifestyle, furries, neuter genders assignment, all of these things is pushed today by Satan to destroy your children. To destroy your children, listen to me. What I'm getting ready to show you is not normal. You can't tell me it's normal. Show me a picture. There's what's in schools, gay pride being taught in the schoolroom. Show me a picture. The LBGT, listen, I'm not against the people. They're lost. They need Jesus, and the blood of Christ can save them. But the agenda is to destroy your children. The agenda is to destroy the young people. Listen, God's grace saves anybody. They nobody damned to hell. They listen to me, but they can't be saved living like that. They've got to come to Christ. We got to this morning. Huh? Years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not my Lord was crucified. I know he not. It was for me he died at Calvary. Oh, but praise God, mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. There I found a liberty. And they can too. But somewhere we got to stop and say it's wrong. We can't do it. It's wrong. Somewhere we've got to stop and say, this ain't right. Show me another. That ain't normal. I'm sorry, that's not normal. It's not funny. It's pitiful. That's not normal this morning. I'm sorry. That's not normal. That's not. Show me another. That's not normal. I'm sorry. That's not normal. Oh, they don't like themselves. And then society is pushing on them to where they can do that to get attention. They don't like themselves. Somewhere there's been a mommy and a daddy that ain't loved them. Somewhere they've been put and neglected. Somewhere something's happened to these people. And oh, can we not see that the enemy is doing all we can to destroy our children? That's somebody's son or daughter. Can I tell you, that's somebody that held a little baby and was happy at one time, but they forgot and let it go. Can I tell you, that's where we're at today. And God help us not to let it happen with our children and our grandchildren and the ones in our school. Oh, God help us this morning to walk to where God says to walk and walk the way the Word of God says and glorify the Lord and raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, may God help us this morning. Give me another one. That's not normal. That's not normal to do your body like that, to look like that, and raising babies. That's not normal. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's not normal. I'm not mad at these people. Oh, what I'm mad at. What I get mad at is we don't think it's wrong. What I get upset with is that we keep on letting these people run our country. And it's destroying our children. It's destroying our children. Huh? Are you hearing me today? Hear me today. Huh? Is there another one or is that the last one? Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to have that man come and read to my children in the school library. That's a man. That's a man. That's not going to happen. I'm going to tell you, we got to quit backing thing to let this happen in our school system. Huh? Do we not run the school system? It's called public school. Do you not run your children? Are you not the boss of your children? Then if you are here and your children go to public school, then they should not be a gay flag in the school. You shouldn't allow them to teach your middle schoolers about sex. You shouldn't allow them. It's not their job to do that. Their job is to teach them how to add and subtract and spell and read. And they're coming out of school and they're being homosexuals and lesbians and transgenders, but they can't read their own name. Well, so somewhere we got to say, that's enough. That's right. It's enough. That's right. Yeah. Huh? But, well, I hate to rock a boat. No, you're afraid they'll be kicked off the ball team. You're afraid they won't excel in sports if you go rocking the boat at the public schoolhouse. We won't let it be done in our house. Huh? And I'm not being sarcastic about none of that. I'm just showing the reality. That's truth today. Is that the last one? All right. Creating a culture. Hang with me now. Creating a culture only interested in the dollar. That's what the devil's after. He's creating a culture that's only interested in a dollar bill. Because we don't vote for Bible. We don't vote for right and wrong. We vote for how it's going to affect my retirement or how it's going to affect my billfold or what I got in my payday at this moment. We don't care who's got to die. We don't care who's got to suffer. When you say, well, you for Trump? No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't think he's a godly man. But I'm a Republican and I'll vote a Republican ticket. But I cannot vote for a Democratic platform because it's ungodly. I'm sorry. I go back and read and we think everything's good because they got a preacher to come up and pray at an inauguration or to come up on a plane. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm going to tell him this for you too. You can't cuss God on Monday and praise God on Tuesday. If you cuss God on Monday then and you praise Him on Tuesday, you're a hypocrite. If you cuss Him on Wednesday or Thursday, you're probably lost. I don't care where you're running for president or a dog catcher. Huh? You understand that? Huh? I think it's a shame that we don't have nobody honest enough to run for president of the United States. When what we got running today is a disgrace to every American, Republican or Democrat. And anybody think one man's going to change it all, well, you're just dumber than a rock, so I can tell you. Huh? About as honest as I know to tell you. Until we as a people vote Congress out and Senate out and vote godliness instead of drunkards and whoremongers, everybody like John F. Kennedy, and you paid for him to have affairs with Marilyn Monroe in the White House. Everybody loves Lyndon Johnson. He's your first one to borrow from your Social Security. He was a Democrat. Just thought I'd tell you that. Biggest whoremonger in the White House. Just thought I'd go ahead and tell you that. That don't matter. But you go ahead. Just read a little bit, huh? George Washington, the father of our country, our great Christian country. And he had, I forgot how many barrels of liquor at his inauguration party. Go ahead, look at all of it when they're all drunks and whoremongers and everything else. I don't trust none of them. We need to go by the Bible and vote godly. That's just truth for today. That's reality. Well, I'm preaching reality this morning. You'll not probably get this at the seminary. $31 billion given to Planned Parenthood. $208 billion spent just last year on cancer medication. Now, we can put man on the moon. We can operate on a baby still in her belly. We can split cells and put cells in somebody to do this to a disease, and we can't cure cancer. You really don't believe it, do you? They projected. Now this is all you can all public information. That in 2028, that there will be $411 billion spent just on cancer medicines alone per year. That's not to cure it. That's just to prolong your dying. Why is that? Because the culture that Satan has been creating is the culture of the love of a dollar. That's why the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's not politics. That's the dollar bill that speaks there. Huh? That's not politics. Huh? No cure wanted. I don't believe there's no cure wanted. If we'll spend $1 trillion to try to find a water hole on Mars, now you understand you're paying for that. If you're willing to go ahead and keep paying $1 million or $1 trillion to find a water hole on Mars, so you can try to convince somebody that God didn't create the earth. Well, that's your foundation of it. Then you ought to take all your money and give it to the Congress instead. If that's what you believe. We're still okay? Creating a culture where church is a novelty. Satan trying to destroy our children, teaching that church is a novelty. You say, well, how are they doing that? Well, everybody ready? Let's all have an old-time service. Let's all wear our bibbed overalls and our long dresses and our bonnets, and let's put our oil lamps on the walls and meet with God. For that's the way it used to be. And church becomes a novelty. And you invite people to your novelty service. That's where we're at today. Because you don't get the old time way with the way you dress. You get old time religion on your face before God. Church is a novelty. Church is a novelty to the point that I was reading a thing, and that somebody sent it to me, actually. And he sent me a little picture of a little saying. And I allow they got it on Facebook. I don't know. But anyway, it was true. Let me see if I can do it right here. It would be my generation. It would be Marcus's generation speaking, maybe. Be Marcus's generation speaking. Let me see if I can tell this right. He said, "Now my grandparents went to revivals every night for 6 weeks at a time. Every night, work all day and go to revivals every night for 6 weeks." Anybody here remember doing that as a kid? I've done it. 2 weeks was normal. In fact, I was raised at a time when they didn't announce a week revival. They announced a 2 week revival with no end on it, an open ended meeting, but it was going to start for 2 weeks regardless. Right? But it said that this generation said, I remember grandparents went to see, but my parents went, I remember when my parents went Sunday through Wednesday to revival. That's where we're at today. It's hard to have a week revival. It's hard to even get a preacher to preach a week revival. Can I go ahead and tell you that? Most preachers that I would love to have come won't preach a whole week. They'll only preach two nights. So just go ahead and tell you that. They'll preach three. And if I get them to preach a week, they want a big, big check at the end. And they have no problem telling me how much it is. And if I give you the name, you say, "Ain't no way." But I can blow your mind with a lot of reality this morning. I don't want to shock you. I've already shocked your system. Church is a novelty. And then it went on and says that my generation, this person said, my generation, I remember going to church on special days, on Christmas and Easter. Or no, his generation, I remember going to church Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Then the next generation said, I remember going on Christmas and Easter. And then the last generation said, "What's church?" Let me ask you real plain advice. What does church mean to you? If our grandparents went, you know, I've talked to some preachers. I may have told Jared here the other day. My papa walked from, or we didn't walk, he drove from Winona, work all day in the mines, and drove from Winona to Leyland. Y'all know where Leyland's at, a lot of you do. From Winona to Leyland. Preached 2 weeks revival, and when it come down, they said, "We want to give you something for preaching for 2 weeks." He said, "Okay," they give him 2 gallons of blackberries. Using all that gas and preaching 2 straight weeks, and they paid him with 2 gallons of blackberries. And he said, "Well, that was a long time ago." Well, let me tell you one real recent. I went and preached a revival in Calhoun County, and I don't do this for money, but you know, people pay, you know, if you go, they at least pay your expenses, you know. I went and preached 6 nights in Calhoun County, and Shining Grace come and sung the last night of the meeting. And after they sung on the last night of the meeting, they give me a check, which is fine, because I didn't care. But they give Shining Grace a check for singing. And they give Shining Grace $200 more than they give me for a week of preaching, driving plumb to Calhoun County. I laughed. I thought that was the funniest thing. I said, "I know how my preaching was. One night of singing was better than 6 nights of preaching." I went in a hole, $153 on gas. Honest. I've laughed over that. But church is a novelty. Church is a novelty. It's such a novelty, we can take it or leave it. It's such a novelty that it's not first place in our mind or our heart in service of God. It's not a place to worship. It's a novelty that we can go just like Dollywood and go to all that fake stuff, you know, and some shootouts and all this stuff. You know. That's the culture that's created. A culture created after our children. This is all after our children. For our children will see the church is not important. That God's not important, huh? A culture of compromise and deceit to take the manhood away. Huh? Even to take the womanhood away. A society of recreation. Did you know I was reading that every year in the United States, or last year anyway, that $563 billion was given for recreation in the United States? $563 billion just for recreation. Well, I don't have no problem with anybody recreating. But you know what else I found? Then in the same article it said that $17 billion was given to churches. $563 billion given to play, $17 billion given to pray. How's that? You know, used to be, we taught everybody, you know, you ought to play your tithe, play your tenth. Anybody ever been taught that? Hold your hand up if you ever heard that, been taught that. You know what average payment is this time is now? 2%. That's what Barna, I don't know who Barna is, that's what he said. That Barna surveyed people. I don't ever know who Barna is. But, we okay? You know why? Because church is a novelty. We'll go and pay. Now, this is just fact. We're talking about reality. We okay? We'll go to the state fair and pay $15 for a corn dog. That's a hot dog wrapped in batter. We'll pay $20 for a thin slice of ribeye on a bun with no lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, or nothing. We'll stand in line from here to the stoplight for a cinnamon roll that's got syrup and pecans on it. After paying $70 to walk around on pavement in the hot sun. Right? And let our missionaries go without nothing. And think, well, we're giving them $100 a month. My goodness. My goodness. Surely, what's the problem? I mean, I just now ate one meal at the state fair. It cost me $80. Them missionaries can live off $100 a month. Creating a culture of compromise and deceit and no manhood. Huh? Think about it. Everybody don't, but a lot of people, you know, they don't have a clue what work is. I mean, it's no exaggeration. This ain't something made up that there's people that don't know that milk comes from a cow. I'm not drinking that out of a cow. I get mine at the store. Roger Gerwig sent me a picture of a pizza box. And on the pizza box it says, open before eating. That's what's wrote on the box. Remember you sending me that? Do anybody here not know you need to open the box before you eat a pizza? That you can't eat the box? Was it you? Was it you, Roger, that sent me the picture of the chicken, that it was chicken legs and it said on the package all front legs? Or all back legs? It was on a store. It wasn't a made-up Photoshop. It was on a picture of a... Somebody sent me something, had a banana. I forgot what the banana was. It was something about the... I mean, we're living in a bad society. I'm talking about reality. And you say, why are you even preaching this? Because I'm going around trying to get your people saved. And the things that they're telling me and the things that's going on in their home, I can't find them at home. I can't find the children at home. Hey, I can't find them at home to invite them to youth group. I can't find them. I got to go to a ball field and wait on them. We used to have a dress code for special forces. We can't even have it now. The kids won't come. I didn't tell them to quit using it. They just quit using it on their own volition. We'll go to a ball team, and the coach will say, they got to practice every evening. Okay. They've got to wear this uniform. Okay. They got to be here such as time to play him. Okay. When it comes to church, they come in their pajamas. Some we've had to clothe from the clothing closet because he wasn't decent. And to get perfect attendance at a church function ain't going to happen. But if they miss practice, they can't play. So we're going to make sure they play their sports. That's reality today. And all of this is to create a culture of unbelief. All of this. Huh? All of this. That people won't believe God. That they see the hypocrisy of Christians and they don't believe it to be true. For all the open sin that Christians live in and for the unfaithfulness and the duelessness of Christians, for their conversation and vulgarity, filthy communication, there's no witness on the job, and it's created a culture of unbelief that it used to be if you could get anybody saved, it was the kids. And now it's hard to even get a kid saved. All because Satan wanting to destroy our children. See, reality is this morning, our children are in danger. What do we do? Well, the Bible speaks that judgment must first begin at the house of God. Somewhere we who profess to be saved are going to have to beg God for mercy. For our children and for our grandchildren. I'm done old enough, ain't nobody going to affect me. You know that? You're not going to change my beliefs. You know? You take my Bible, I still got some hid in my heart. Kill me, I'm just going to heaven. I mean, I'm at the age you're not going to affect me but so much. I thank God for homeschoolers. I thank God that Landon and Hannah are homeschooled. I thank God that Levi and Micah and Lainey and Wesley and even little Olivia are homeschooled. And even though they're homeschooled, I worry about the society they live in. And I worry about the people that would do them hurt. And I worry about the wicked people that would take them and think nothing of raping them and abusing them, even though they're in that home. Huh? Because our children are in danger. I worry about our children going to college. I don't care whether it's Bible college or secular college. I worry about our children. I worry about what they're going to have, what's going to happen when they grow up, what's going on with them at school that we don't know, that they won't tell us, that they're told not to tell us. It worries me. It worries me that when we find out it's too late. Y'all understand this? Well, I'm not mad at you, or I'm not mad at one individual. I'm talking about programs and plans and platforms that Satan is behind in using to destroy our children, to destroy you. If you love your children at all, if anything happens to them, you're going to be concerned. Correct? So if nothing else, Satan will do everything he can to do something to your children to keep your focus away from church or the Bible or trusting the Lord. Anything he can to get our mind off of living for God. I don't list like nobody. I don't have nothing against nobody. I want people to come to Christ. But it's going to have to start with us. I've been teaching on Wednesday, trying to outreach and get people to come in. But I tell it like I did Wednesday night, you can't put live chicks under a dead hen. The church needs to be right. That when people come to Christ and come in, and we can keep them and teach them and help them. But what are we going to do this morning? You say, well, we're just a little bunch. Oh, we can start in our own community right here. If enough of Christians would speak out, they won't block off town for all the liquor this fall. They'll stop the liquor from Memorial Park if enough Christians would stand up against it. Well, it's going to hurt the economy. Let the economy go to pot.
That's right.
Let's get back to where if you don't work, you don't eat.
Amen.
Let's get back to if you can't raise it, you just starve. Huh? That'll cure some of your cancer. We all go back to raising our own stuff again. Father, you've given me liberty this morning. I pray that Thy Holy Spirit will bring this to remembrance. And, oh God, for anyone that's mad or upset or angry in the church or on the live stream, Lord, we're not against people. We're against policies and platforms. And, Lord, we're against Satan and the work of Satan. And, oh God, may You bring us to repentance. May we see we need to repent this morning. Oh God. The killing of babies, and abortions, and abuse, and Planned Parenthood. And oh God, we didn't even get to where people want to be again, Your people, the Jew. And oh God, help us this morning to repent and to live the way You want us to live. Speak to every heart. If there's one here lost, oh God, they're in the hands of Satan this morning. He's destroying their life. May they come to You for freedom today. In Jesus' name. And amen.